3. We're going to start at verse 5 and continue through verse 9. And I'm going to be reading from a translation of the Bible. It's called the New Revised Standard Version. This is the updated edition of that, of the NRSV. This is Paul who is writing to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse 5. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe, was the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. And the one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and each will receive wages according to their own labor. For we are God's co-workers, working together. You are God's field, God's building. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we do give you thanks for these words that you are speaking in our midst right now. We pray and ask that our hearts may be open before you, O God, and that you will create in us new life. Lord, we pray and ask that these words may bring our very own selves to life. And, O God, I thank you for the words that you have spoken to me. I pray that as I speak this morning, that the words that I share, that they will be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For these things we ask together in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. There is something that's really interesting. I've never had this experience in serving churches, never had an experience in serving as a pastor where someone would come to me and say, you know what? You know, I really, with everything that's happening around church, with everything that's taking place, you know, I've kind of looked at it, kind of looked at my life, and I've decided, you know, I'm really not interested in growing anymore. You know, I just kind of reached this place in my life. I've just kind of reached this ceiling, and so I've got to the very top, and so I'm exactly where I need to be. And so, you know, I'm just kind of done with that. I don't want to grow anymore. I don't want to have anything else, nothing else to challenge me, nothing else to kind of push me or propel me forward. I'm exactly happy where I'm at. Like I said, I've never had anyone say that to me before. I have, on the other hand, I've had people that have said to me, they said, you know, it seems that I've been in church for several years now, and there is something that I would like to do. There's something that it seems like I'm kind of missing. There's a next step that no matter what I'm doing on my own, I can't try to get there. I can't seem to get there. I know there's got to be something else. I know that I can get better. I know that I'm really not in the best place that I am, and I have had conversations like that. And really does cut across all times. I've had teenagers that have told me that. I've had people that are, I've had people that have just reached retirement that have told me that. I've had people that are in transition with careers that have told me that. I've had people that all of a sudden have a baby that's been born, and they say, I know that I'm not really at my best now, and I want to do something that I can get to my best. I want to do something that is going to help me be the very best that I know that God can do. One of the interesting things about it is that as strong as that desire can be, as strong even as that willingness in the moment can be, is that, well, and you know this, is that while there can be a desire to grow, while there can be a desire to be our best, our desires do not automatically equal growth. It is not just something that, as strongly as we desire, it doesn't just automatically happen to us. We can get really easily distracted by lots of other things that get our attention. We can have things that take up more of our energy. We can have things, if we're honest, things that just flat out waste our time. You've probably heard this before, but you know I'm a preacher, so I'm going to say it again as much as you've probably heard it before. But there's an old saying about shipbuilders, and it's that if you want to create excellent shipbuilders, if you want people that are the best at building ships, above all, it's not about education. It's not the best schools. It's not the finest schools on shipbuilding. It's not about teamwork. although that's really important. I was remembering, you know, even Noah had his family around him as he was building a ship. But it's not just about teamwork. It's not about education. It's not about excellent skills. But if you want to have the very best shipbuilders, if you want people to build ships for the rest of their lives, and excellent ships for the rest of their lives, teach them to fall in love with the ocean. Teach them to fall in love with water. Teach them to fall in love with that kind of curiosity that comes from that it's not about skills, it's not about education, but it's falling in love with the water itself. This is what Paul's doing. This is exactly what Paul is doing in this letter that he is writing to the Corinthians, teaching them to fall in love with God who brings growth and also brings growth in all circumstances. Just imagine that for a minute, that God can bring growth in every situation, in every circumstance that we find ourselves in. In fact, he will write in the second letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 through 10, he will write, "We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed." And in fact, I have lifted up that scripture from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, by the one that Pat was using this morning as she introduced that song before she and Pam just such a wonderful job as they were singing that one too. "For my grace is sufficient for you." In fact, Paul will talk about that experience that he's had. And you've probably heard this before too. If not, it is well worth knowing about Paul's experience and Paul's background. That is, Paul gave all of himself, and in fact gave all of his best to God, he found that there was an issue that it kept coming up in his life over and over again. And he will describe it as a thorn in his flesh. And he will say that three different times, on three different occasions, he said, "I will pray that God would remove that thorn from my flesh." And then, as Pat reminded us this morning, and then God came and spoke to the Apostle Paul and said, "But my grace is sufficient for you." For the Corinthians, they were hard-pressed, they were crushed, they were perplexed, and it was because of water. More specifically, it was about baptism. That place that we come, that all of us come into the life of faith. That first step that we take of having water poured over the tops of our heads, or else having water that is sprinkled over our heads, or actually being fully submersed in that water, that open door that we come into a life with God, into a life with Christ, that when we are baptized. And this is exactly what the Corinthians were arguing back and forth with. Now, what we don't have is we don't have the letter that they wrote to Paul. We don't have the list of complaints that they have. We don't have the issues that were really tearing them apart. And for Paul, those quite personal jabs that were coming to him. But what we do have is we've got Paul's response. You see, when we read 1 Corinthians, it's always important to remind ourselves that we are reading a letter and that we only have one side of what was going on. And so we take this and see what Paul is responding to. And for Paul, it did get quite personal because they were asking, who's right? Who's got it right? In the amount of water, who's got it right in baptism? Who's got it right in the ways that God calls us to grow together? Is it you, Paul? Or is it Apollos? And here's where Paul goes from this idea and this concept into a real practice. This is where Paul goes from this idea that, yeah, we are hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed, we're perplexed, but we're not in despair, we're persecuted, but we're not abandoned. This is where Paul goes to this side that says, yes, God's grace is sufficient in this moment. Because he raises this idea. Can God bring growth in all circumstances? And can God bring growth even when Paul's been called out? Even when Paul experiences some personal attacks on his own teaching his own ministry, his own life. Paul says about himself as well as Apollos. He says, "We're fellow servants through whom you have come to believe. The Lord has assigned each of us." And so above Paul's own ego, above the conflict that was happening in the moment, even above the distance, because again, this is a letter. Paul is not face to face with the Corinthians. They are not in the same room together. Paul says this continued growth that maybe you have been distracted by, this continued growth that God is inviting you to experience, that this continued growth comes through people just like Apollos, and it comes through people just like me. But do you know who both of us are? Do you know who we are? We're servants. God has assigned us. We are servants living our God-given purpose. We are doing it in this place for you, where I planted and where Apollos watered. I remember one time I was serving in a church, and this is a really short time, but it was pretty clear. It was pretty evident even before I came there, but there was a specific change. There was something that just really, I mean, it's quite evident. It's a change that needed to happen, needed to take place. And I was having a conversation with my district superintendent. Now, if you've been in the United Methodist Church for very long, you'll recognize that, the DS. It was a conversation with the DS. Well, as my district superintendent, now, essentially what that is that in the United Methodist Church, we are connected. We're connected together, and so we recognize that, for example, in North Alabama, that the churches that are part of the North Alabama Annual Conference, that we have this connection. So there are district superintendents, there are others that are around that support ministry. And so I was talking to my DS and talking about this change that needed to happen. And so you are going to be shocked at this because as the pastor and as a new pastor at this church, I was, you know what I was doing? I was blaming the folks at the church for the problem to start with in the first place. So I was having this conversation. Now, I was having this conversation with them, but I was having it with my district superintendent while I was blaming them. And then I could do this, you know. Not only was it just the folks that were in the church, but it was also some of the leaders that they'd had in the past. So I was very quickly blaming them along the way. And so, you know, why did they let this happen? Why did they allow this to take place? And, you know, this change that I knew, I was looking and said, you know, well, this could have been easily resolved. This could have been easily solved a while ago, and I wouldn't have to deal with it. Now, my district superintendent at the time was Ron Schultz, and Ron told me, he said, "Well, Eddie," he said, "I want you to do this." He said, "Eddie, I want you to think back to, when you came into this life with Jesus." He said, "I want you to think about that time that you first became a Christian." He said, "I want you to think about those feelings that you had," and he said, "also about this change that you know needs to happen and all those people that have failed to make it happen." He says, "I want you to think about how you would have felt if you were a brand new Christian and if you were just coming into this." And I said, "Well, yeah, I can see myself making those same decisions in that same place and that same circumstance." It's easy to see that I could have done that. You know, there is something amazing about Sherpas who will take people up to the top of a mountain. So this is absolutely amazing because they'll live their lives in the mountain, and then, you know, you will go with them and you will summit that peak. And a Sherpa who is really good, who has lived their entire life in that mountain, can take someone as inexperienced as they are and lead them all the way up to that summit, and then they get to the top of that summit and they get to live. They get to breathe when the air starts to thin out. You see, one of the amazing things about a Sherpa is they know when to push people. They also know when to pull people back. It's actually what Ron Schultz was trying to help me do as a preacher in a brand new church. But there is something that is extraordinarily amazing about that. Is that for someone who has experienced growth with God, Someone that has realized that they are not at the ceiling of their spiritual lives, but they have experienced that growth, to be able to turn to someone else and invite them into those same places. Paul is essential for the Corinthians here. Because in the gifts of his own work, in the gifts of Apollos and whoever is going to come behind both Paul and Apollos, being able to grow in significant, life-changing, transformative ways, Paul was able to recognize that the gifts that he had, as well as the gifts that Apollos has, the skills that they both developed together, that this is where real growth happens, the kind where there is transformation that is able to take place. And see, what Paul is able to say, that in all this purpose and these gifts and these skills, he says, God has one purpose in mind. That when we come together and when we work together, that's when real transformation happens. And then he reminds them, he said, and as much as we love buildings that we have, he also reminds them that this is God's building, but also God's field is right outside of the doors of these buildings that we love. And again, reminding them that there is no place where God's growth cannot flourish. I remember something that was really a miracle that happened in a church that I was serving one time that had a food pantry. And there was a former missionary, a retired missionary, that said, hey, do you know what's right behind this church? It literally was. It was in walking distance. It's a community that's filled with people that only spoke Spanish. Now, this former missionary, he did speak Spanish. And he says, we didn't even know about him, much less the conditions that they were living in. It was essentially, there were some real struggles for some real people that were happening there. And this retired missionary was able to help us connect with them in such a way that our food pantry was able to connect with them. But again, we were talking about this on Wednesday night. Have you noticed how often jobs will say bilingual? That one of those things that as you're applying for a job, that there's a bump in pay, there's a raise that happens if you're bilingual. There was no one in our church that was bilingual at the time. But this retired missionary, he said, I can translate. And so it was one of those translations that a couple of them came into the food pantry, and it's one of those translations where they would go back and forth as we stood there and as we were sharing with them about some of the things that we had and just the sheer joy of being able to share out of the abundance of what God had blessed our church with. And it was one of those bilingual translations where they would talk for 3 or 4 minutes, and then there would be laughter, and then there would be this back and forth that would happen and everything. And then this retired missionary would turn to us and say, well, he says yes. And then another 2 or 3 minute long conversation with laughter back and forth, and says, yes, comma, that would be good. And then another conversation. So that's the way our conversation went. But it's an opportunity. It was an opportunity for us to see a field that, well, we had not had eyes to see in that moment. But it was also an opportunity for us to come together and recognize that as much as we love the building that God has so graciously given to us, is to be able to recognize that there are fields too that are part of God's providence. That whether we have eyes to see them at the time, well, God certainly does. And so as Paul is in the midst of offering this letter to the Corinthians, he reminds us that in moments of transformative growth, the moments that really do, the moments that as strong as our desire is, the moments of growth that really, really push us to some place that we've never been before, that God's the one that gives that kind of growth. And yes, that kind of growth can happen in all circumstances. It can happen in all buildings, but it can also happen in all fields. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. Lord, we do thank you, O God, for the tremendous blessings that you so freely pour out onto us. We thank you, O God, not only for this building, but we thank you for buildings around our world, Lord. where people are in this very moment and will continue throughout the rest of this day, who will gather and lift out the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, O God, for fellow laborers and fellow workers who have been here, for the tremendous amount of skills and the tremendous amount of gifts that have brought us to this place. And we pray and ask, Lord, that as servants here at Grace Point, that you will continue, O God, to speak deeply into our hearts. That you will continue, O God, to transform us in ways, Lord, that we have never experienced before. That you will bring us to growth, no matter what circumstances we may find ourselves in. And Lord, let us have eyes to see those fields that are all around us. For those who are struggling in those fields, for those who are searching in those fields, Lord, give us eyes and ears so that we may connect them, Lord, with you who brings growth in all circumstances in life. We pray and we ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, the one who saves us. Amen.
Would you stand?
Thank you for all that you give. And if you could, if you have not had a moment to give, you can place your offering in those plates in the back. But let us lift up praises to all that God has given us on this day.